Alright, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you once again to the car program, the Rabita Car program. It's your following program, Genesis. We're talking about cars, we're talking about maintenance of cars, etc., repairing of cars, book values, trade values, and give us a call, inshallah, if you have any questions with regards to cars. The number to call for the program is 011-854-1548, 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48875. Alternately, it is 082-580-8070. We'd like to welcome Adil Mia in the studios tonight. And yes, Adil is alone today. Adil, salam alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Maulana, and to all our listeners, welcome to our program. Like Maulana said, we're ready for all your car issues, maintenance, car prices, car problems, buying a car, selling a car. And our brother, the big Sheikh Abdullah, won't be with us tonight. He conveyed salams to everybody. I think he's still recovering from the fishing trip he had last week.
Gee, we had to. Before we talk about the cars, where you guys went fishing and how's the fishing, Adil?
Jim, what's up? I think the fishing is on the go now. I think lots of guys are going. I think the bass are starting to bite.
The bass, yeah.
So that's, we also went to a place near Middelburg, near Steelport. There's a dam there.
The Hoop.
The Hoop. Mm. And a nice setting, what's up? A very beautiful dam. The setting of the dam, where the dam is situated. Very relaxing, tranquil, peaceful, mashallah. Not a lot of people on the water, also amazingly for the size of the dam. But mashallah, the fishing also wasn't bad.
Very strong fish, very tasty fish.
And alhamdulillah, it was only a bit far to travel in one day, I think. I think it's a place that you need to stay overnight.
You guys went to the waterfall area as you launched,
tried to look for the waterfall area, but unfortunately, we just didn't know. But now, I think we got a more or less idea where it is.
Cheers, lovely, them. Jazakallah, Adil. Next time we go together, Allah will inshallah. Gee, 40 minutes past 7 o'clock, it's your phone-in program. And also to remind our listeners, alhamdulillah, some lovely news, that the petrol price could drop by between 71 and 77 cents a litre next week. But they also say the decrease could have been an additional 25 cents a litre had the rand remained stable. This is what the AA said this afternoon. So basically, petrol is set to drop between 71 and 77 cents a litre, and the diesel will be lower by 50 to about 53 cents a litre, and paraffin down by approximately 56 cents a litre. So that is good news, Adil.
She has confirmed, inshallah, from Wednesday onwards, the petrol price will be going down and the diesel price. So that's because of the price of petrol going on all over the world, and the price of oil also depreciating very drastically. So inshallah, it will take off some pressure on the inflation and on the driver's pocket. So maybe we intended to go somewhere. Now is the time.
Jazakallah. Yes, dear listeners, holiday time as well, inshallah, in about 3 weeks' time, school holiday time. Today also we're going to do a review of the Mercedes-Benz, Adil. It's called it's a hot one, the Wabenzi Mercedes-Benz. And Brother Adil, inshallah, will tell us more about the new launch of the Wabenzi Mercedes, or what's it all about, inshallah. Also, dear listeners, the lines are open. The number to call, again, to remind you, 011-854-1548. And the SMS numbers are 082-580-8070. And 488-55, 488-55. Keep the questions coming through. Adil, the first question coming through with regards to an oil pump. If your oil warning light is on and your oil pressure gauge is reading low, what do you have to do in this instance? You've got to turn the engine off. What do you do, Adil?
Jim, also, if the oil light is on and the oil pressure gauge is reading low, that is a very very disturbing sight in a motorist's eyes, because that is a sign of low engine pressure, low engine oil pressure in the engine. And the important thing to do is immediately switch the engine off and take a look at the engine oil, if there is any in the engine. If there is oil in the engine, then you have a problem with the oil pump. That means not enough oil being pumped up to the top of the engine to lubricate the engine. But most of the time it's no oil, so low on oil. So you can just top it up and then carry on with the journey. But I mean, you'll have to try and diagnose where the oil is going to. Maybe you have a leak, or maybe the engine is worn out. But definitely not recommended to carry on driving, because then you can do some serious damage to the engine.
Ali, what happens if the engine is not making any unusual noises? It seems to be running quite normally, and the oil level on the dipstick is full, but you are still getting a low pressure warning light or the low gauge reading. Could there be a fault just on the pressure sending
unit? There could be definitely a fault on the sensor. That's a common thing. It happens when, especially when the pressure sensor, oil pressure sensor gets a bit old and worn out. It could be definitely a point taken that the oil pressure sensor is faulty. But as long as the engine not making any clunking noises and any rattling noises, then it will be advisable to carry on. But if not sure or anything, rather have it checked out to be on the safe side.
I want to be correct in saying that the old Golfs, the 87s, up to I think 2002 or 3, they normally have this sickness where that
there was a problem with
because of
there was a problem with those cars also in the. I know at every 90 or 100,000, they used to call it an oil pump, oil sump service.
Yeah.
Where they used to remove the whole sump and clean out the little stuff that fitted onto the oil feeder pump and clean that out and sometimes even put a new pump in. So, and there's a common thing on the oil, on those Golfs also that sensor also gave problems. They always put the light on. There's a little red light was always flashing when you drove the car, but everything was fine. So the sensor was faulty.
JazakAllah. Again, the number to call for the program 011-854-1548. The SMS number is 48855 and alternately it's 0825-808070. Adil, the oil pressure unit, where is it exactly located?
The oil pressure unit, the oil pressure sensor, normally located on different cars in different areas, but normally where the oil will run through the engine. So the most common place will be on the oil filter housing, because that is the strongest point where the oil filter will be flowing through to filter the oil. So the most common place for the oil pressure sensor will be on the oil filter housing, and the most common place for the oil level sensor will be on the oil sump. It means at the bottom of the engine.
Lovely. Talking about oil consumption, Adil, regarding a Toyota Corolla 2004 model, the brother says he uses a fine every 4,000 kilos. Is this not usually quite high?
Every 4,000 kilometers. Most manufacturers recommend that every 1,000 kilometers use a fine is commonly normal.
Oh, it's wrong.
But 4,000 kilometers, I don't think there's anything to worry about. There's nothing you can do anyway, because even if you try an overhaul engine, it's not going to help, because a good running engine, it should use oil,
yeah,
but not as much as more than a pint every 1,000 kilometers. So every 4,000 kilometers for a pint is commonly normal.
Okay. And actually, one of the causes of the high oil consumption, would I be correct in saying basically depends on two things. One is the valve guides and also the piston rings.
Jimona, there can be the number one contributor to that fact, but the most common thing and the most thing misrepresented in the car is the wrong grade of oil being used in the car. Sometimes you find that you took your car for a service, and as soon as it comes back for the service and you do a couple of thousand kilometers and you feel the car's gone a bit heavy on oil, that means the last time they used the wrong oil. So just make sure that whenever you send your car for a service, make sure that the correct oil is used for the correct specification for your vehicle, because sometimes you can use the lower viscosity or the higher viscosity that will cause your problem of high consumption as well.
JazakAllah. All right, we've gone further. Number to call for the program 011-854-1548. Are you looking at the car magazine a few days ago? You know, they have a section called the Tech Talk, and in that section, they look at the latest advancements in technology and the application on currently future vehicles. Really, it's mind-boggling. Like the article was talking about, can you imagine a car without wheels? So yes, according to Lexus, until they believe this may one day become a reality. So I think they're trying to create, it's called the hoverboard, which looks like a skateboard, and Allah knows best what they're up to, but Lexus believes this can become a reality. Also very interesting is, normally we have the spot hole detectors, it can present a serious safety risk to motorists. But they're talking about a car, I think ideally it is Jaguar Land Rover, the one who achieved this year, that, when you're coming to a pothole, the car will actually warn you of an approaching pothole and also predict the severity of the obstacle in time for you to take avoidance action. Mind-boggling, isn't it?
Really, Marcel, the way the technology is going today, I also had a look at it, that car without wheels.
Yeah.
So basically, this is a brief description. You'll have like a magnetic field at the bottom of the road or on the road, and then the car will go on top of it. So basically, the magnetic field will cause the motion of the car to move. Basically, like how a train walks on a track, but only this thing will be like trackless. But It's very far-fetched, I mean, to actually believe it right now. But I mean, someone told you 20 years ago that you could have a little thing in your pocket and where you could see anything in the world, what is going on, you'll tell him, right, you know, I think you want to down or something, or maybe want to not lose. But now you can believe it. So anything is possible in time to come. Also, you know, the way the technology is going at a rapid rate, you're trying to keep up with the new technology. Sometimes you get it there, but sometimes it's just so difficult to try and fathom all that new technology in these motor vehicles.
SubhanAllah. All right. Apologies. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam. I'm speaking from Stanger. Because the Isuzu Bati 2006, about 3 weeks ago, we had a problem. The engine gave up, right? So we put it in the new, second-hand engine. And what's happening, for every 3 to 4 kilometers, we have to fit in water.
Okay.
From the radiator that's getting into the bottle or whatever. Now, the thing, mechanic said maybe we have to change the cylinder head.
You see, what is the reason why you changed the engine in the first place? Did he tell you that?
Why we changed the engine?
Why did you change the engine in the first place?
No, because the engine, my husband is going to dab and then the vent just stopped suddenly.
But you see, that is the main question to ask. Why did the engine stop? The engine could have stopped because you had a leak, maybe in the radiator or one of the pipes.
Yeah, the engine, can't.
Yeah, so basically now what you've done, you fixed the problem, but you didn't fix the cause of the problem. You see, so what you'll have to do now is the person who fitted the engine for you, you take it back to him and tell him he must do a pressure test for you. He must do a coolant pressure test.
Pressure test.
Yeah, coolant pressure test. So what you do is...
He took it to somebody and they told him must put the coolant water or something.
Yeah, the coolant water...
There was like a noise, the battery light will come on and it used to buzz. So then they told him, no, maybe the water is not right, so they put a coolant. So that stopped. But now we see we have to, every 3 to 4 kilometers we have to fill in water.
Yeah, you definitely got a leak somewhere. Appa, you must check maybe the radiator, maybe the water pump in that engine, maybe one of the coolant hoses are leaking. So definitely we have to do a coolant pressure test. So if you take it to the mechanic, he'll know exactly what to do. You just tell him you need to do a coolant pressure test.
I'm taking it to him and he still can't find the fault. That's no.
So then maybe we can't find a fault externally, maybe internally in the engine there's a problem. Yeah, maybe
maybe he has to change the engine.
Yeah, but you see, the engine you bought used, you must just ask the person who you bought the engine from if it came with some kind of warranty and tell them this is the problem we're having with the engine, if they can swap the engine for you. It will be a bit of a...
Yeah, they told us 30 days warranty.
Yeah, so then you must try and take it back to them and say that the engine you bought for them, you suspect it's faulty because it's probably leaking the water through the cylinder area. Yeah.
Okay,
all right. All right, a question I didn't see it on the screen. Assalamu alaikum. It says, what should I pay for a Toyota Corolla 1.6 professional? The brother says it's got 96,000 kilos on the clock, 2009, and the car is very clean. Adil, the book value, plus minus, just to give an idea. And we like to always make mashallah with some car dealers and others. We just want to give you an idea. Corolla 1.6 Professional 2009. The book value is about 105,000 rands. So I think 100,000 rands is a good price, Adil.
They still hold value, those cars, isn't it?
So a whole lot of value, G.
It's nice cars also.
Lovely cars.
They're lovely cars and easy to maintain and comfortable cars.
Very nice. What about the 1.3 in those cars, Adil? Are they?
I think the 1.3 is a bit on a struggle inside because for the size of the car and the size of the engine, I think for long distance you're gonna struggle a bit to go up those hills at Van Rienen and go up the Maluti Mountains, and it's gonna be a pleasure. Rather stick around here in the local driving will be better for you.
JazakAllah. All right, to go on further, I think somebody else is asking a question. Another trade value, book value. He says it's a Kia Picanto, lovely cars, Adil.
Yeah, Kia Picanto, and they gave him now a facelift. They're looking very nice. Most
very
of
nice.
The very underrated car, getting popular now amongst all people because they're realizing that the value for money in those cars.
You're getting value for money.
Definitely getting value
because
for money.
Because, for example, now look at a Picanto 1.1 2008 model. All right, the book value is about 42,000 rands. It's a 2008 model for 40 grand.
40 grand.
You're getting a nice car.
No, really.
JazakAllah. So, brother, Picanto 1.1 EX 2008 2009 2008. The book value is about 42,000 rands retail. Should be about 47,000 rands. Lovely cars. I went to Venomon last week as well. Beautiful cars indeed. Adil, let's talk about the review for today. We're talking about the Mercedes-Benz Brabanzi. And you know, every now and then a vehicle comes along that gets the industry really talking and the magazines are just full of it, you know, new cars almost every week. And this new Mercedes-Benz falls also into this category. It has everybody talking, and it was launched, I think, last week, just outside Knysna in the Western Cape. Why don't you tell us about this car, the Mobenzi? How's the car, and what's the main talking point in this car?
Gee, most of the Wabenzis are the guys who are driving these cars. They're known as Wabenzis. So
okay.
All the people driving Mercedes-Benz cars, the nickname for them are Wabenzis.
Oh, okay.
So, but the car itself is the Mercedes-Benz GLE Coupe.
Okay.
That was launched last week, as you said, most of in Knysna. For people who don't know the GLE, from this year onwards, the ML class will be no longer available. It will be called the GLE.
So this one replaces the ML.
So the GLE replaces the ML.
Okay.
And this is a GLE coupe. So in other words, the derivative of a BMW X6. So basically, the German motor manufacturers are always at competition with one another. So if BMW brings this car, then Mercedes will bring that car, and Mercedes brings this car, and BMW will bring that car, and Audi in the same way. So the German counterparts are always at the competition with one another as far as who can design and make the best car. And it's always in the visuals point of view also. I mean, you'll get a BMW guy will only stick to BMW, and a Mercedes guy will only stick to Mercedes. Very rarely you'll get a guy who said, I drove a Mercedes and now I'll drive a Mercedes. Always. There are people who do that.
Yeah.
And the Audi, the same thing, you know. So basically, the GLE Coupe is exactly the competitor to the BMW X6.
X6, yeah.
Mercedes-Benz are wishing to target that market. So with the launch of it last week, let's see how they can do. BMW were quite happy with the X6 sales in our country and in Germany as well and throughout the world.
Mm.
So inshallah, the GLE will be taken to our roads very shortly. People will start seeing him on the road. The three sizes that are coming most up is the GLE 350, that will be the diesel derivative.
Okay.
With 190 kilowatts. And then you'll get the 450, the GLE 450 AMG will be a V6 bi-turbo.
Yeah.
And that will give you a 270 kilowatts of power. And then the bad boy, that's what everybody loves to get their hands on,
yeah,
will be the GLA 63, the S Coupe, Mossop.
The V8s.
Yeah, the V8 bi-turbo.
Mm. Okay.
An unbelievable 430 kilowatts of 760 meters of torque. So that's unbelievable. So if you want to climb up the Sunny Mountain Pass, Mossop, I think you can do it very quickly with that car.
I think the price range of this, it's a hell of a lot. 430 kilowatts of power with a V8 motor, it's a lot. What's the price range of these cars?
The price range will start with the GLE 350, most coming at 999,000.
Okay.
And then the GLE 450 AMG will be at 1,099,000. And then the bad boy will be 1.8 million rand. So it's a lot of money to fork out for a for a car, you know, and to get all that. A pleasure out of it. I mean, it's Mercedes and BMW and Audi. They don't come cheap, myself. So, I mean,
yeah,
if you really need to have a car like this, and if you really need to go to all the jungle and the bush, or if it's just a status thing, then you'll have to fork out that amount of money to get your hands on one. But, I mean, the safety and the comfort in these vehicles are compared to none, most of the Mercedes-Benz safety and comfort. You cannot really beat them. They put a lot of work and effort into safety of their customers and safety of the vehicle.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we believe that Allah only can protect us. But I'm saying, you know, the safety, they put a lot of effort in it. You know, it's one of the safest cars in the world. One of the most comfortable cars in the world. I mean, the other day we were driving in we came to a funeral in Lens, and I happened to have a car to test, and then we were on our way, and I took a couple of my cousins with me.
Yeah.
And they, you know, so we had a Mercedes and we were coming in that car, and, you know, they all said that you can't compare the comfort in driving in a Mercedes. I mean, you know, if you're really used to it,
yeah,
like a guy like me, basically take it for granted because you're fixing those cars every day, you're driving it every day.
Yeah.
And then every time when you take someone for a lift or you give them a ride, they say, wow, the Mercedes-Benz really lost.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you really know the value of the car and how comfortable it is, then alhamdulillah, you know, then you stick to a Mercedes. It's very hard for you to drive another car. So if you don't know the comfort of it, then I think the other cars will do that.
JazakAllah, dear. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaykum salam.
How are you, my brother?
I got a 93 Toyota Tiers.
93?
Yeah.
No, it's a Conquest.
Conquest.
Yeah, Conquest.
Yeah, Conquest, yes. Yeah.
Is it 130?
The 130 Conquest, yeah.
It's
1,000 kilometers.
How much, uncle?
I don't know. I'm going to get for it.
It only done 1,000 kilometers.
Yeah.
No, man, can't be.
No, it can't.
A 93 Conquest, which is about how many years old? 22 years old.
22 years old.
With only how much? 1,000 kilos.
Yeah, the personal drive is to just go from the house to the school.
Alhamdulillah. Where's this car now?
10 kilometers. It's in Ridgeway.
Yeah, I'd love to see this car. How much do you want for it?
Huh?
How much do you want for it?
I don't know how much you'll get for it.
Also, how much will I get for it?
Is it your car, uncle?
My son's car.
Oh, your son's car. I'd love to see this car. What you expecting, I'll tell you, uncle, more or less. What are you expecting to get on this car?
Say about 35, 40.
No, you'll get much more.
Much more?
Yeah, it's a 1,000, it's a brand new car, uncle. You'll get much, much more.
Okay. Jazakallah.
Jazakallah.
Try and put it out. You advertise it already.
No, I won't advertise.
No, you'll get a good money for it, uncle.
Only today I advertise it for it.
But why do you want to sell it?
His wife wants to drive the car, but she needs the automatic, you see. Not used to driving a car with a
gear,
you see.
Oh, you're not used to driving a car.
Yeah. Amazing. First time. Amazing. A 93 model with 1,000 kilos on the clock. My brother, I'd love to just see this car.
He's also just see the car.
Anytime he's just here, right?
Okay. But don't give the car away, my brother. It's worth quite a bit of money.
Okay.
You need to remember, you need to replace that car, uncle. So whatever you sell it for, you need to replace it.
Yeah.
And any car you're going to buy for 1,000 kilometers, you're not going to pay that amount of money. You're going to pay more than over 100,000.
I think this car is irreplaceable. If she can drive this car, continue driving this car.
No, she can't drive it.
Okay, my brother. Jazakallah, take care, okay?
Assalamu
alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That is amazing, Mustafa.
Amazing, 1,000 kilometers
on a Toyota Conquest.
I'm sure all the dealers, years must be paying big.
I'm telling you what.
Putting value to this car, gee. Alright, we were talking about the Mercedes-Benz GLE range for the Wabenzis. Brother Ali telling us it's a lovely car, talking about the main talking points. And also it's consisting of three vehicles. But gee, not fast at the moment, Adil. Anyway, number to call for the program 0118545048, and the SMS numbers are 0825808070 and alternately 488-55-488-55. Other collapsed lift noises. You know, worn and dirty lifters can cause this valve train noises. What's the best way out of this?
The best way out of it must be change oil regularly. That's the number one tip I can give to all the listeners out there. If you have a motor vehicle, I know life has become so hectic now. Sometimes you just don't have the time to even take your car for the service. At least once a year, or even the service comes up. If you're not even going to do the whole service on the car, at least change oil and filter. That's the least you can do for your car to last you a long time. You see, the mistake we make is we don't service the cars on time, and then when we take the cars for service, we get a fat bill because the car wasn't serviced for such a long time. And then it puts so much pressure on the motor mechanic because the car's been serviced for such a long time. And then after you service the car, after a long time, you take the car on a long trip, and then you realize all the other problems start because you haven't been maintaining the car regularly. You know, it's like a man who sits the whole day and doesn't do any exercise, and then one day decides, let me go run the marathon. It doesn't work like it. You know, regularly the car has to be driven, has to be checked. Tire pressures, all the niggly things should be all the time checked regularly. Myself, you know, another point, while we're on that point there, I want to discuss with all the listeners is a really bad habit we have. Not everybody, but you know, they've done a survey that over nearly close to 900,000 drivers like to drive the car on the reserve light.
Yeah,
you know, they don't keep the tank above quarter, always on the reserve light, hoping to get as much mileage out of the reserve light. You know, different cars with different designs of the reserve light. But my advice to the listeners is try to keep your vehicle always over the quarter line. And out of necessity, yes, once in a while it's fine that you know, you're on a trip and you try to make it to the next garage, the light comes on. But it puts a lot of strain on the engine, on the fuel of the car while driving on the reserve light. Because what happens is, especially on a diesel, if your car runs out of petrol or diesel, remember the tank is empty, the pump starts sucking air and starts pumping air to the front of the engine. And that can be detrimental to the movable parts as on the fuel injection side. And that's where most of the problems start. Immediately you won't find the problem, but in long term, you always try to figure out how come this car out of all the cars gave this problem. And if you get some more information from the customers, always drove my car on empty, never fill up on time. So my advice and our safety tip for this week is that always try and keep your car above the quarter. And now with petrol going down, even advisable when it comes to half, fill it up. And you'll see that from full to half, you'll get more kilometers than from half to empty.
Lovely, Jazakallah. I think somebody wants to know regarding this easy pull tawbahs, you know, when you just fold it up, you open it up and you close it up. I think it folds up to easily fit in any car. There's no jerking when you stop, when you pull off here, and it fits on most vehicles. What's your recommendations on this?
See, Monsab, I think there's a new concept that has been launched. You know, there's so many new technology and things that you can be marketed to the car and be sold on cars.
Yeah.
There is a concept, but the only issue I have with that is the... that, you know, the fitting of the easy tawbah. I think on most of the cars it does fit and it fits properly, but I think on the Mercedes Benz most of the time there's issues with these tawbahs, because yeah. You know, with the electronic side, especially when you connect the tawbah and then to get the lights to work on the trailer is a huge issue. We always have that issue, you know. That's why my recommendation is that if you know you're going to tow a car, rather order your tawbah standard from Mercedes-Benz and let them give it to you, because you'll save yourself a whole lot of headaches.
So basically for the older cars it's fine, eh?
For older cars and all that, it doesn't have all the sophisticated electronics on the car, I think it's perfect.
Lovely, Jazakallah. We go on further, somebody wants to know where can he get and purchase 1,200 and 1,400 spares for his Bucky. And brother, there is some people around, I think for example in Boysons, I'm not going to tell you the name, you can call us off air, we'll tell you where you can get all these parts from. Alright, but it is somewhere in Boysons. 7:38 PM, give us a call on 011-854-1548, the SMS numbers once again, it's 48855 and 0825-808070. The Revitav Car program has been sponsored by MYM Motors. Somebody asking, Adil, Hyundai 1.6 GLS, it's a 2006 model. Well, I'll be quite honest in sale again, Adil, there's value for money. It's going for approximately, book value is about 35 grand. 2006 model, Adil.
Yeah, 2000, look at that, Monsab, I mean, a 2006 model for 35,000 then. The value for money in these Korean cars is a way to go, I think so. Because, I mean, even the people who are driving these cars, okay, maybe on the replacement parts, but costly, but today all cars, replacement parts are costly, but service parts are not too bad.
Okay.
And these cars are very economical on fuel also. And all the extras you get, all this niggly stuff, the extra storage space, the USB ports, and the Bluetooth for your car phone. And, I mean, really, all the extras you're not even paying for, and you get it for basically for free.
Yeah, so that's a lot interesting. Call on the line number 2. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah, G.
I just want to find out about the Nissan Almera 1.6 2004.
Yeah.
Is it a good, reliable car?
I think it's a lovely car, my brother. Nice car, strong car.
Strong cars.
And then if you got a problem with the key, where can I have a key made?
Yeah, that is very important when you purchase this in the car. Make sure always you have a spare key. There are a lot of guys out there doing spare keys. What you can do is get my contact details. You can give me a call on Monday. I can give you a guy's number, a very reliable guy, very competitive with his prices, and he does a good job. I can give you his number to cut keys by him.
Inshallah.
All right, my brother.
But the main thing is, Jackie, did you buy the car already, brother?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you listen to our tips on buying a used car?
No, I on the program just now.
We've done this before. Do you have a service book for the car?
No, there's no service book.
Okay, important. And what is the kilometers on the car now?
250,000.
Okay, and the person you bought it from, is it the second owner, first owner?
Third owner.
So very important now to have the car checked. So make sure that the everything is there. Or ask the last owner when last was the car serviced. Does he have a service record of the car? So you see all the things, you can be proactive. So if you're going to go on a journey in a car, you know you're ready for all it. The other thing, good point you made up now, is the spare key. Make sure you have the spare key of the car. And other important thing is to also check is the car wasn't in any bad accident or anything. So you don't want to pick up problems later on.
Okay,
mileage for the car is not bad. 204,000. It is a bit high. So you must have paid a good price. But inshallah...
How much you paid, maybe ask him, my brother. If you want to say it, 2004.
Yeah.
You paid below 45? Okay.
Then it's fair, inshallah.
It was one of the Alim's cars.
Oh, okay.
So you got Barkat also with the car.
Jazakallah, my brother.
Right.
Assalamu alaikum. This is a
good car. It was a
nice car.
Yeah. A lovely little car. Yeah.
What, underrated, Adil?
Compared to the Corolla, yes, I think they are. I think they can be on par with the Corolla. Also.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Call on the line number 1. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
Ji, my brother.
I was looking for a book value of a 2008 Opel Corsa 1.4 Essentia.
2004
2008.
1.4
Corsa, 1.4 Essentia.
Yeah.
Okay. Brother, I'm going to tell you the book value in a bit or two.
Okay.
No 1.4 Essentia Opel, eh?
Yeah, in any price on the Opel, the mileage is 100,000.
Oh, but that's right, sir.
No, Opel Corsa.
Opel Corsa. Okay, we'll tell you in a bit or two, my brother.
They're nice little nippy cars, eh? They're quick on the bends. They're easy to handle. They're nice and easy to park. I think Opel makes a good car. It's a nice looking car. The Opel, the new Corsas, they're very nippy. They're nice looking. I think it's a good buy. If you're an Opel fan, then that's a way to go. I mean, you know, you have to be an Opel fan to buy an Opel. It's either Opel, it's either Golf, or it's the, you know, the Honda or the. But I mean, the German specs is the Opel and the Golf. They're the big competitors. But it's a lovely car.
My brother, the Corsa 1.4 Essentia 5.2008 model, the book value is about early 50s.
Okay.
All right. Yes. How much are they asking you?
50.
It's not bad. It's about 50 grand, 52 grand straight. The retail is about 62. But just make sure I'm with somebody.
Yeah, but make sure also, like we spoke to the brother earlier, make sure you have all the niggly things in order. You know, the service history, the spare keys, the tires are good, things like that. Because you don't want to go spend extra now on all those things, you understand? So if you're negotiating the price, negotiate the price with all those things included in the price.
Yeah.
Alright. Try for 45, my brother. Try 45.
Inshallah.
Yeah, we're masters in negotiating, you know.
Yeah.
JazakAllah, brother. Assalamu alaikum. A few days ago, I bought a car, you know, and this gentleman is telling me, Muhammad, he just stopped. He said, Muhammad, but where did you learn to negotiate?
Yeah, it's in our blood.
7:43 p.m. Give us a call on 0111-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48855 and also alternately 0825-8080-70. I've been talking about an engine bearing noise. This is, it's a knock noise, it's a terrible noise, and it's also a very costly thing, I would guess. The brother says he's got a 2005 Toyota Corolla. It seems as though it has an engine bearing noise. Now, I want to ask you also, Adil, what will it cost him? It's a 2005 Toyota Corolla to do his engine up. It's a 1.6. And also, how does one differentiate between an engine bearing noise and the normal engine noises?
See, Monsap, for an ordinary person to actually detect it, well, it's going to be a bit difficult, but I can give you a brief description what you can look out for.
Yeah.
So basically, if you're listening for an engine noise, if you start the engine, and the noise immediately is there. So basically, you start the engine, you hear the noise immediately. That means that you got a knock in the engine. And if you give it a slight rev and the noise gets louder,
so
that means it's in the engine. So basically, if you start it, the noise is there for a couple of seconds and goes out, that can be a hydraulic noise or a timing chain noise. So that's not very serious, but eventually it has to be taken care of.
But so immediately, the moment you start
it, you're going to hear it, and it's going to be there all the time. And if you start revving it slowly, it will get louder, and it will make like a clunk-clunk noise. And you hear it clattering badly. But it won't even last you long, because a bearing knock, you won't drive the car for long, the engine will seize up, or it will throw the contour to the block.
Yeah, that's what normally happens.
That's what normally happens, because the engine seizes up, and whatever direction is going, it just goes to the block.
Yeah.
And that will be even more costly, so because then you have to throw the engine away, because you can't. Sometimes it's very difficult to repair the block.
Yeah.
And if you repair the block, you're always going to have issues.
With oil leaks.
Oil leaks and all that. Yeah. You know what's up, to repair engine like it, there's so many parts available for Toyotas today, you know. So my recommendation,
15 grand to fix up this motor.
That sounds reasonable. But make sure the person you're taking it to have it repaired, he knows about Toyota, he knows about engines. Because most of, you know, to spend so much money on an engine like that, it can be disastrous, because you can just settle problems after that.
Afterwards.
Like you just heard the lady now who fitted another engine to the car.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if you're taking it to a person, make sure you're doing the job properly. Like things like the radiator coolant pipes, all that must be checked, because that's part of the engine. You know, that things must be run working properly, because otherwise it's no sense putting the engine in a car and repairing the engine, your radiator is leaking, because tomorrow you're going to have the same issue again, because all the water runs out, you damage the engine again.
Yeah.
It's just all those niggly things, the little things, all that should be taken into consideration when overhauling engine. It's not only about the engine, all these things must be checked.
Right, JazakAllah. And with regards to the spark, the Chef sparks, you know, they're also quite cheap. The 5.2006 model, the brother wants to buy one. He says he's asking 20 grand. It's a very fair price,
very fair price.
It's cheap, yeah. 20 grand, it's very, very cheap. But how's the maintenance on the Chef's car, the sparks?
Like I said earlier, Musa, the maintenance, the services on these cars, they're not bad at all. And the little Chef spark also is a very underrated car. It's a nice looking car. It goes very well. It's very economical. It does a job. I mean, for 20,000 then, what can you buy today for 20,000? Okay, yeah. The maintenance, like the normal services, not too bad. But when it comes to replacement parts, that is the big issue with most of the motor manufacturers, like headlights, fenders, you know, brake pads, brake discs, water pumps. You know, the replacement parts for engines. That's a bit on the costly side, but not too bad. It's affordable.
Lovely. A question, Adil, from a brother is asking that he's done his head gasket. After 4 months, head gasket goes again. What's the reason for the head gasket failing?
That's exactly what we spoke earlier, Musa, with the lady with the Isuzu. Same with the engine overall. So basically,
why is the failure? Why do head gaskets fail?
The number one culprit for a head gasket failing is lack of water. Car overheating. So basically, they fixed the problem, but they didn't fix the cause of the problem. What caused the problem? That's what most of the motor technicians out there don't realize what is the cause of the problem. You know, you get overwhelmed by doing a head gasket job because it's so much work involved and the profits are a bit higher than doing a service. So basically, the overwhelmness takes over you and then you miss out on what caused the problem. So very important is to see when you're replacing a cylinder gasket, when doing a cylinder job, make sure you ask the technician, did you find the cause of the problem? Because if you're going to replace it and repair it, exactly like how happened to the brother, now 4 months down the line, you're going to have the same issue because you probably didn't fix the cause. Of course, number one causes are thermostat jamming, water pump leaking, radiator coolant pipes leaking. They'll all must be checked.
Lovely. Out in the brother's yard hands us over document on paper. It says the brother wants to buy a Toyota Fortuner 2014 model with 2,000 kilos. Is it a good buy?
Gee, Mossad, because of the 2014 Fortuners, they are going on special right now because they launched a new one.
Oh.
I don't know if it's launched already or Toyota are still going along. I think it has been launched already. So basically, if he's getting a good price, then you should go for it because, you know, when buying a new car, it's always advisable to find out when there is a new model being launched. You know, you can always negotiate your price and get a great discount because no, all the people waiting for the new model will want to try and get rid of the old models. So maybe if he doesn't want one with 2,000 kilometers, he can even wait. There'll be plenty out for sale now because there'll be a lot of them going on sale because of the new models being launched or launched already.
Lovely. I read about the new models. It's believed that it's lovely cars and they're going to boast their own distinct features.
Yes.
No Hilux look alike.
Correct, yeah.
Lovely. Adil, will I be correct in saying it is South Africa's most popular large SUV? That is the Toyota Fortuner?
That is right, Mossad. There's so many of them on the road, and they're so common and popular. That's why to buy vehicles like it is advisable because to get used parts for them, they're readily available. So in that market, you know, like I said, you know, it's going to be difficult for a man who drove a Mercedes all his life to go and drive a Toyota, especially a Fortuner. Because, you know, I drove a Fortuner, and you just can't compare. Okay, it's not a bad ride, but the earlier Fortuners, they gave me such a bouncy ride, like the shocks of finish or something. Mm. I just think they had a design problem with the suspension.
Old Fortuners.
But it gave you a very hard ride. You know, it wasn't soft. It was very hard.
Yeah. I think normally people are talking about the Fortuners. I don't know. I heard one or two brothers saying that they're easy to flip over, no?
Probably. I really didn't take it on the bush or anything. I just drove it around. But my experience was it gave a very hard ride. Or maybe they are designed like it.
So that come along. All right, limited time, about 2 or 3 minutes remaining before we terminate the program. Give us a call of the number 011-854-1548. The SMS numbers are 48855 and also 0825-808070. All right, SMS question coming through. I did this one stating that I want to know, we got a PT Cruiser and the turbo is gone. Can you put the reconditioned one as the original one is very, very costly, and will it work?
Yeah, it'll definitely work, and my advice to you, definitely put the reconditioned one. The PT Cruiser is a Chrysler PT Cruiser, so it probably must be the diesel one with the turbo. They are available, and my advice to you is when putting the new turbo or the reconditioned turbo, make sure your technician checks the turbo cooler, the turbo feed pipes, the inlet and the outlet pipes, make sure the intercooler is cleaned properly. Make sure all the procedures are followed properly before putting the turbo, because after same thing with the cylinder gasket, after 4 months you don't have the same issue with the turbo. And turbos don't come cheap on stuff, so definitely go for the reconditioned one.
I'll just an estimation, interesting, PT Cruiser, the turbo is gone, what's it going to put them back?
Most of a reconditioned turbo can start you off from about 3,500, then can go up to 7,000. Then I think a new turbo for that car over 15,000.
over 15,000 rands. Jazakumullah. Alright, let's go on further, inshallah. And the other question coming through is, the brother says he's got a Toyota Corolla 2007 model. On takeoff, it has a shudder. I don't know, what can it be?
See, the common thing on the car was the shudder could be the clutch plate that's busy wearing out.
Okay.
Or the other number one culprit could be the engine mountings that are starting to wear out, also can cause you a shudder.
How many mountings are there on the car?
Four. The most commonly on different cars is four or five. So you left two on the engine side, on the side, one in front, one in the back. So four or five, yes.
Jazakumullah. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ji.
Hello. Assalamu alaikum salam.
How are you, my brother?
Alhamdulillah. How are you, Mullah?
Alhamdulillah.
2001 Hyundai Atos Prime. Automatic.
Yeah.
It's an entry level one. No aircon, power steering, or electric windows. It's done 2001. It's done 50,000 Ks. It's in brand new condition. What can I fetch for it?
You want to sell it?
Yeah.
What you expecting, my brother?
Yeah.
Or what are you expecting?
I don't know.
2001 model.
I'm not sure.
It can't be 2001, my brother. Should be about 2007-8 onwards, no?
No, it's the first one that came out.
The first April.
2001.
It's giving automatic also, that car.
All right. The book value, we don't have it, but normally the dealers will give you some along for you. You might get 25, 30, 35. In that region, my brother.
It's still got the original tires on the back.
Is it, eh?
Yeah, it's still new, the tires.
What did you say, 2001? How many, what's the mileage on the car?
50,000.
50, very, very well, my brother. Why do you want to sell it, use it?
It's automatic, I thought we'll update it.
Gee.
Yeah, and the problem with that Atos, the automatic gearbox is going to give you trouble.
Oh.
Yeah, they're a common problem on those cars.
Is it?
Yeah, the automatic gearboxes give a lot of trouble on those cars.
Oh, I see.
But at 50,000, I think you're still okay. But I think you're not going to fetch a high price, Uncle, because you know the Atos are not very popular.
Yeah.
And they're very compact cars. They're most popular amongst the females. You know, they like the little compact town driving cars. So I think what Monsal says, 25, 30, you're going to try and...
I think you're lucky
if you're going to get the models.
Right, exactly.
Because the normal 2005 is going for about 25, 26, yes. The guys are paying for them. Jazakallah, my brother. Okay, retail, you can always get more. Jazakallah.
Right,
assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. 5 to 7, Adil, Jazakallah for the lovely program. Concluding remarks, Adil?
Jimonana, Jazakallah to Monsal and to all our listeners. Inshallah, they have all the motoring issues ready for next week. Don't feel shy. You know, if any motoring problem you have, that's what we're here for. We're here to assist you in any way. You want to buy a car, you want to sell your car, you have an issue with a car, your car is at a technician, you want to get a second opinion. He's here and see myself, no charge, gratis. He give you that advice. And really, we want to help the people out there. So whatever it is, you know, if you have a car issue, maybe we might know everything. But inshallah, wherever we can assist you, that is our job. We would love to assist you in any way.
Jazakallah for those words. I'm really looking forward to the next program. And Jazakallah to all our listeners and also the callers who called in for the program. Alright, we conclude the program, inshallah. Have a lovely weekend ahead. Request for special du'as from myself, Muhammad Kara and Adil Miyad, and our engineer, Brother Ziyad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.